In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Every now and again, there's a story where text messages from some celebrity are leaked to the press, which causes a wail of squealing delight that a well-known person might message people the same way the rest of us do. Apart from the lesson that these celebrities really can't trust anyone, why do people get so excited about them? Sarah Geraghty from the Communications Clinic has a few thoughts on this afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon. I think it's about the self-doubt and self-awareness piece you were actually speaking about beforehand.
Okay, explain that.
So I think we're so addicted, or it's so compelling when something like this breaks, because it's the only time you get to see someone, whether that's a celebrity or, with the Epstein files far more seriously, the former president of Harvard, for example, completely unfiltered, completely unself-aware. You're seeing, as you said there, how people talk, how they behave, how they think, what they actually believe in when they think nobody else can see, or more importantly, when they think nobody is ever going to see, even 10 years down the line. And if you take any of those examples you just mentioned, you know, they all have to live up to these certain identities as public figures. Their public personas are shaped by what's popular, what's going to sell an album, what's going to market a film, by whatever works for them professionally. But when their guard's down, that's them. That's their true self. There's no polish. There's no pretending. It's just their own tone, their own instinct, their own literacy or lack thereof. And that is fascinating.
Yeah. But isn't that the same as everybody? In the sense of the way you act in the pub with your mates isn't the same way you act when you go to work in your accountant's office.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's why it's even more interesting when Blake Lively or Taylor Swift or Matt Hancock, the former British health secretary, reveal themselves, because, you know, that's what they actually mean. That's how they're actually talking. And the pretense has dropped. And I think it's really interesting for public figures, because we probably are hardwired as humans to assume that people who've reached the top, you know, whether that's Hollywood or whether that's the organization you work for, that, you know, they're pretending to some degree. And when you see leaked messages, whether it's from your friends, that awful moment where you've sent the wrong message to the wrong person, they're kind of proving that they are pretending to a degree, that there is a brand they're trying to reinforce, but that this is the real them.
Yeah. But we, again, going back to the point, don't we all do that? But we tend to be much crueler about it to people in the public eye, that, you know, they're putting it on. But of course, everyone's putting it on depending on the circumstances. You know, if you go to visit your elderly aunt who's a nun, you're going to act completely different than you might in another set of circumstances.
Yeah, and I suppose that's adapting to your audience, isn't it, every single time? But I guess when it comes to celebrities and famous people, whether that's in business or politics or whatever, you know, context is important. Tone is really important. I was looking through some stuff earlier and I was reminded of Johnny Depp's texts about Amber Heard a few years ago. And, you know, that provided a commentary that was really important about how men spoke about women. You know, about, you know, how Matt Hancock actually felt about the British public and, you know, those lame attempts at humour that can just be grossly insulting and offensive. So I guess we are all having to adapt, but we've got to be really, really careful what we say and how we say it and where it's going to land.
Yeah. Now, I mean, no one would defend Johnny Depp, well, for any reason really whatsoever, but particularly not those particular texts. But isn't that, though, a bit, you know, like, it's like everyone's looking for a gotcha moment that, oh, that text, you know, Matt Hancock's text, that reveals completely who he is, rather than just it's a text he sent, he thought in confidence, and it's just a snapshot of how he might have felt at the time.
I think that's the important point, though, Sean, that, you know, if you don't want it to be forwarded, if you don't want it to be screenshotted, if you don't want that to be the impression that's formed of you and remembered and the only thing that people ever say about you, then I'd be very, very careful where I put it and who I say it to. You know, I think the old line used to be, don't write anything down you wouldn't want to see on the front of a newspaper. Now it is to write every message as if it's one screenshot away from going public, because, you know, no matter how unfair it is, if that's all I see or hear of somebody, and that's what I think they think about me in whatever sense that is, then, you know, it's kind of tough. That might be the only thing I know about them. And that's that impression or that brand formed.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's can be a bit, it's a bit reductive, perhaps a bit cruel even. If you had a client who had been caught sending, you know, and why these people have phones at all, I don't know, given that the only lesson should be don't send a text to anyone. If you declined, you came to you who had been caught. Now, let's leave aside, say, the Johnny Depp kind of example. But how would you advise them? Is that kind of, is it mea culpa time?
I think so. I think you have to own up to what you've done and apologise and not try and gloss over it or make it sound anything other than it is. You know, I do think people forget. I do think they rely too much on the fact that we're told WhatsApp, for example, is encrypted end to end. It is from a technological point of view, but it's not humanly encrypted, you know. And when we see lots of examples of stuff that's leaked, it's because a human has leaked it. You know, we've safely assumed this is a group chat where we're all friends. But, you know, we have no control over the message once it's gone. And we don't know the context in which it's being read. You know, I think a lot of people don't look at whether the message can stand alone, you know, whether something can be inferred into it that really, really wasn't meant. So I really think it's really important that if you don't want to see it as a screenshot in 2026, don't write it. No matter how unfair or reductive that might be, that is how it is at this time in the world.
And in those circumstances, there were something like this is leaked and then you get the old, this is not who I am, apology. Does anyone believe that?
I mean, I don't think so. I think that's why, I mean, there was a really interesting story from a few years ago where these Sony emails were leaked. Some of them were funny. I mean, in one of them, I think they called Angelina Jolie a minimally talented spoiled brat. It'd be very hard to come back from that and say, no, I didn't really mean that, because she could say, well, you said it, you know. All you can do there is say, look, I'm really sorry. I was annoyed. I was frustrated. You didn't sign up to this movie. But there's no point calling it anything other than it is. And I think that's just why we need to be so careful that it's there forever. It's permanent. And while we write messages now as if they're fleeting, they behave like documents. They're records.
Yeah, they'll folly around like a bad stink. Sarah, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Sarah Geraghty there, head of careers at the PR agency, the Communications Clinic.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.